21. Stranglehold. Alongside AI governance and business and research relationships, compute has emerged as another battleground in the U.S.-China AI competition. China heavily depends on external sources for compute, a dependency the U.S. government has leveraged to hinder Chinese tech companies. Yet the global infrastructure of computing hardware is shifting as both China and the United States seek to ramp up domestic semiconductor production. Control over compute could turn out to be one of the most consequential fights in the struggle for AI dominance. China has long sought to reduce its dependency on foreign chips, a major vulnerability for the country. China's national efforts to boost its semiconductor industry date back to the 1950s at the origin of the technology and have included a steady stream of government plans and investment. Most recently, from 2014 to 2020, the Chinese government issued 10 strategic plans and policy guidelines affecting the semiconductor industry and committed an estimated $150 billion to semiconductor investments. The Chinese government's willingness to spend enormous sums of money to boost its industry has helped address the massive capital needed to compete in the semiconductor industry, but an inefficient allocation of capital, lack of access to foreign technology, and a dearth of high-end talent has all hindered China's indigenous chip development. To make up the shortfall in technical skill, China has recruited an estimated 3,000 semiconductor engineers from Taiwan to join Chinese companies, luring them with massive raises, sometimes double what they would make in Taiwan. The partially government-owned contract foundry Semiconductor Manufacturing International Corporation, SMIC, has benefited from hundreds of Taiwanese engineers along with top executives, including its first CEO. China has also used foreign acquisitions as a means of acquiring talent, technology, and expertise. Despite several high-profile acquisitions being denied by the U.S. government on national security grounds, China completed over $5 billion in acquisitions of U.S. semiconductor firms from 2006 to 2016 and an estimated $11 billion total in overseas acquisitions as of 2017. Domestically, China has been on a fab-building spree, building over 40% of new fabs worldwide from 2016 to 2020. China is both the largest and fastest-growing importer of semiconductor manufacturing equipment, accounting for nearly 30% of global imports from 2014 to 2018. As a result of this investment, China has the fastest-growing share of global chip manufacturing and is expected to build more new fabs from 2020 to 2030 than any other country. While 20 years ago, the Chinese chip-making industry was a decade behind the leading node, Chinese foundries have made strides in catching up, though they remain at least two generations, roughly 5 to 6 years, behind the industry's leading edge. While the Chinese government has a long history of national plans and subsidies for its semiconductor industry, the U.S. government has only recently become engaged in the geopolitical competition over chips. A brief period of anxiety in the 1980s about the rise of Japanese semiconductor firms spawned some U.S. government efforts through the late 80s and early 90s to spur domestic chip innovation. By the mid-1990s, however, the U.S. government had reverted to letting globalization, market forces, and engagement with China run its course with little government intervention. Rising costs and market competition drove firm specialization and the development of globalized, interconnected supply chains. Hefty government subsidies by many countries to the tune of billions of dollars for chip companies also contributed to shaping the global semiconductor market. The net effect was U.S. chip manufacturing declined from 37% of global manufacturing in 1990 to 12% by 2021. Increasing concern over Chinese intellectual property theft spurred more aggressive U.S. government scrutiny of foreign investment in American firms in the mid-2010s. The Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, CFIUS, the U.S. government body charged with reviewing sensitive foreign investment in the United States, stepped up enforcement, and Congress expanded its authorities in 2018. The U.S. government has more recently taken steps to increase chip manufacturing in the United States. In 2021, TSMC began construction of a $12 billion leading-edge 5nm fab in Arizona, and Samsung rolled out its plans for a $17 billion leading-edge fab in Texas. Intel broke ground on two new Arizona plants totaling $20 billion in late 2021, and a few months later, in early 2022, announced a plan for another $20 billion in chip factories in Ohio. The companies all have said they hope for U.S. government subsidies to help fund the plants. U.S. lawmakers are thinking similarly. In 2022, Congress passed the bipartisan CHIPS and Science Act that included over $52 billion in semiconductor subsidies. The bill included funding for domestic fabs and the establishment of a National Semiconductor Technology Center to conduct advanced semiconductor R&D. The rise of AI-specialized chips adds a further wrinkle to the geopolitical competition over hardware. AI-specialized chips are expected to take an increasing share of training and inference, using trained models, through 2025, partially displacing more general-purpose CPUs and GPUs. AI-optimized chips are valuable because AI is so compute-intensive, driving a need for more efficient hardware optimized for deep learning. The disruption in the market afforded by specialized AI chips may be an opportunity for China to leap ahead in at least some kinds of AI chips. AI specialized chips include improved GPUs as well as chips optimized for AI, such as application-specific integrated circuits, ASICs, and field-programmable gate arrays, FPGAs. As the name implies, ASICs are chips whose design is optimized for a particular application. Rather than a general-purpose chip like a CPU or GPU, an ASIC is optimized at the hardware level to run a specific algorithm. This can help improve compute efficiency for that algorithm, but also means that the chip may have narrower utility. An example of an AI-specific ASIC is Google's Tensor Processing Unit, TPU. TPUs have been used to train several Google AI research projects, including language models and DeepMind's AlphaGo and AlphaStar, which achieved superhuman performance in the games Go and StarCraft, respectively. FPGAs are like a middle ground between general-purpose CPUs and GPUs and application-specific ASICs. FPGAs can be customized after they have been manufactured, hence the term field-programmable, by programming logic blocks on the chip for specific applications. FPGAs can be reprogrammed for different applications, unlike ASICs, whose logic is embedded into the hardware of the chip. AI chips are a relatively small portion, about 10%, of the global semiconductor market, but are growing 5 times faster than non-AI chips. AI-specialized chips are also widening the field of potential chip designers, with companies like Google and Tesla getting in the game designing their own ASICs for specific applications. As AI technology matures with more real-world applications, dominance in AI-specialized chips may turn out to matter far more for influencing how AI is used than dominance in semiconductors more generally. It remains an open question whether the Chinese semiconductor industry can continue to catch up to industry leaders or whether the hurdles to accessing the technology and human capital needed to operate at the most advanced process nodes will remain too difficult to overcome. Reducing China's foreign dependence on technology is a high priority for Chinese leaders. General Secretary Xi Jinping said in 2016, "Our dependence on core technology is the biggest hidden trouble for us. Therefore, having a good command of core internet technology is our mission. Heavy dependence on imported core technology is like building our house on top of someone else's walls. No matter how big and how beautiful it is, it won't remain standing during a storm." China's ability to reduce its foreign chip dependencies will depend not only on what China does, however, but also the actions of other countries that China depends on for semiconductor manufacturing technology. The manufacturing equipment used to make chips is a key control point in the global semiconductor industry. The equipment used by SMIC, TSMC, Intel, Samsung, and other chip producers has to come from somewhere, and chip fabrication equipment is highly specialized. The market for semiconductor manufacturing equipment is even more centralized than the market for semiconductors themselves. Three countries, Japan, the United States, and the Netherlands, control over 90% of the global semiconductor manufacturing equipment market. In some key technologies, a single company holds a monopoly. The Dutch firm ASML is the only supplier for extreme ultraviolet (EUV) lithography tools, a high-precision laser used for chip fabrication in leading-edge 5nm process fabs and some 7nm fabs. This gives the Netherlands a unique role in controlling which countries have access to the technology to build leading-edge foundries. In mid-2019, after intense lobbying from the U.S. government, the Netherlands declined to renew an export license for EUV machines to China, effectively blocking Chinese foundries from adopting EUV technology. These restrictions only affect the most advanced leading-edge processes, however. Chinese fabs can still access other tools that are only slightly less advanced, such as deep ultraviolet lithography tools, which have been used in chip fabrication processes as advanced as the 7nm mode. Another global choke point in the semiconductor industry is the supply of photoresist, a type of chemical used in chip fabrication. Japan controls roughly 90% of the global supply of high-end photoresist for EU lithography, once again giving a single actor outsized control over advanced chip fabrication. In 2019, Japan used this leverage in a trade dispute with South Korea, temporarily restricting exports of photoresist and other key chemicals for semiconductor manufacturing. South Korea depends on Japan for 90% of its photoresist supply, and it is not easy for South Korean chip manufacturers to find substitutes. Similar to other aspects of chip manufacturing, other countries make less advanced photoresists, but ceased competing in the most advanced EUV photoresists due to rising costs. Even when substitutes are available, switching to a new photoresist supplier would take months of testing and recertification, introducing costly delays to chip production lines. The United States has its own levers of influence over chip production, holding a significant share of the global semiconductor manufacturing equipment market and particular dominance in the specialized software used to design chips. By limiting access to these key production inputs, U.S. policymakers dealt a hammer blow to China's access to advanced semiconductors. In 2019, the Trump administration launched a major international campaign against Huawei due to concerns about its growing dominance in the global 5G wireless market and the risks of U.S. allies installing Chinese-made equipment in their critical infrastructure. As was par for other diplomatic overtures, the Trump administration fumbled much of the international messaging surrounding Huawei, with President Trump frequently undercutting U.S. national security professionals who stressed the cybersecurity risks of Huawei equipment in allies' networks. The risks were real, yet the ham-handed campaign failed to persuade many European countries who were wary of angering China by blocking Huawei equipment. Japan and Australia, by contrast, banned Huawei from their networks before the United States did. The Trump administration turned to export controls as a potential means of squeezing Huawei by denying the company the chips it needed to build its 5G equipment. In May 2019, the U.S. government added Huawei to the Commerce Department's entity list, banning Huawei from receiving any U.S. origin technology. Yet the U.S. government had only weak leverage over Huawei. Within a matter of weeks, U.S. chip firms Micron and Intel had found legal ways of sidestepping the Trump administration's ban and continue shipping chips to Huawei. U.S. law only prohibits shipping products that are at least 25% or more U.S. origin to an organization on the entity list. Under the rule, companies, even those headquartered in the United States, were legally permitted to sell products to Huawei so long as 75% or more of the product's value was not of U.S. origin. By adjusting their supply lines to cut out U.S. origin technology, companies could continue to sell products to Huawei while remaining in compliance with the letter of the ban, if not its spirit. Trump administration officials criticized the company's moves, but the real problem was the globalization of semiconductor supply chains. The United States was an industry leader, but hardly indispensable. The Huawei ban sent shockwaves through the global semiconductor industry. U.S. chip firms descended on Washington to plead their case against cutting off chip sales to China. Fear spread among both Chinese and American chip companies. No one knew which Chinese company after Huawei might end up next in the U.S. government's crosshairs. While U.S. chip companies conceded that China was a national security threat, they argued that the best way to stay ahead was to outcompete China by selling them chips and then plowing the profits back into R&D for the next generation of semiconductors. It was an appealing argument to American sensibilities, envisioning U.S. firms maintaining a global edge by simply running faster than the competition through superior innovation. The problem was that it wasn't working. Over the last several decades, Chinese companies, often through massive state subsidies, have climbed up the value chain to be major global tech competitors. Huawei was a case in point. Huawei has received $75 billion in state subsidies, allowing it to undercut competitors on price. U.S. firms might be able to win on merit, but the playing field wasn't even close to level. The Chinese government was investing hundreds of billions of dollars to boost key industries through national initiatives such as Made in China 2025, supplemented with a massive campaign of intellectual property theft and technology transfer. The stronger argument against the Trump administration's ban on chip sales to Huawei was that it simply wasn't working. The ban may have caused some disruption, delay, or cost increases within Huawei's 5G business, but the company was chugging along just fine. By September 2019, Huawei announced it was ready to start churning out 5,000 new 5G base stations a month, with no U.S. technology inside, and was planning to scale production to 1.5 million units in 2020. The blacklisting was hardly the knockout blow U.S. officials had hoped for. Even worse, the indirect effect was to incentivize every company in the global semiconductor industry to design out U.S. components from their chips. At $400 billion a year, the Chinese appetite for imported chips was too big a market for companies to ignore. If the U.S. government could, at any time, suddenly declare by fiat that no American-made chips could be sent to Chinese firms, then companies had strong financial incentives to move their supply chains out of the United States. Undeterred, yet lacking a long-term plan, the U.S. government continued its whack-a-mole efforts against Huawei. After a year of waffling on rule changes, in May 2020, U.S. regulators finally landed on an effective strategy. New Commerce Department rules expanded the ban to include not only American-made chip components, but also American-made equipment used to produce chips for Huawei. This meant that companies like TSMC, which was fabricating chips in Taiwan, were prohibited from using any U.S. equipment for making chips for Huawei, even if the chips themselves were 100% made outside of the USA. Huawei owns their own chip design firm, HiSilicon, but relies on contract foundries like TSMC to manufacture the chips. U.S. lawmakers were thrilled. Senator Ben Sasse said, "The United States needs to strangle Huawei. This is pretty simple. Chip companies that depend on American technology can't jump into bed with the Chinese Communist Party. This rule is long overdue." In August 2020, the Commerce Department tightened the rules even further, prohibiting U.S. equipment from being used to manufacture chips from any company that were destined for Huawei, not just chips for Huawei's subsidiary, HiSilicon. U.S. industry protested the expansive ban, which also applied to them, but it was effective. TSMC stated they would no longer ship chips to Huawei as of mid-September. In the last quarter of 2020, TSMC sales to China dropped by over 70%. One industry insider told the Washington Post, "This kills Huawei." Empowered by their successes against Huawei, U.S. policymakers expanded their campaign against Chinese semiconductor manufacturers and users in the waning days of the Trump administration. In December 2020, the U.S. government placed China's largest and most advanced chipmaker, SMIC, on the Entity List. As justification for the move, U.S. regulators cited China's strategy of military-civil fusion and SMIC's ties to entities of concern in the Chinese military-industrial complex. The restrictions were limited, however, to technology uniquely required for 10nm process nodes or below, only targeting the most cutting-edge fab tools. SMIC currently has some production capacity in the 14nm node. The Biden administration dramatically expanded the U.S. stranglehold on Chinese chip production. In October 2022, the Commerce Department released expansive new restrictions on advanced chips and semiconductor manufacturing equipment to China. The rules banned U.S. companies from shipping manufacturing equipment to any Chinese fabs at 16nm or below, broadening the scope of both the technology and the companies captured by the restrictions. The U.S. government also imposed controls on advanced chips similar to those used to choke off Huawei's access to 5G chips. Chip producers, including those in Taiwan and South Korea, were banned from using U.S. equipment to manufacture advanced GPUs for China, effectively locking China out of advanced AI chips. American attempts to choke off its access to chips have, not surprisingly, led China to redouble its efforts to improve its domestic semiconductor industry. Undeterred by the U.S. government's effort, China announced a $1.4 trillion investment plan in digital technologies in May 2020, mere days after one of the U.S. Commerce Department's Huawei bans. China's state-driven model, while inefficient, has proven effective in other industries. While China faces many challenges in building its domestic fab industry, the Chinese government has a plan and ample funding. The U.S. government, meanwhile, has been slow to develop a strategy for competing in AI hardware. Like a drunk in a bar fight, the United States threw the first punch in a global chip war with no plan for how to finish the fight. Some of the U.S. government's actions are sensible, but others have been self-defeating. Restricting China's access to manufacturing equipment and software design tools necessary to manufacture leading-edge chips makes sense. The United States and its allies should aim to keep China reliant on foreign chip supplies, retaining the ability to cut off China's access to chips if needed. Yet actually cutting off access to chips, as the United States did with 5G chips for Huawei and with advanced AI chips nationwide, should be a rare move. Denying China the ability to import chips turns China's $400 billion of semiconductor buying power inward, fueling the growth of their domestic semiconductor industry, which is the exact opposite of what Washington should want. Core elements of a U.S. competitive strategy are beginning to fall into place. The $52 billion in subsidies Congress passed in 2022 will help sustain U.S. leadership in key parts of the semiconductor supply chain. The Biden administration's expanded export controls on manufacturing equipment at 16nm and below will help freeze and possibly even roll back Chinese fab development. Yet much will depend on how these policies are implemented. China's ability to catch up in chip production hinges in large part on how expansively and cooperatively the United States and other semiconductor manufacturing equipment providers, such as the Netherlands and Japan, restrict chip manufacturing technology to China. As the U.S. government's restrictions on Huawei demonstrate, control over chip production is a major source of geopolitical power. Seth Kahn, research fellow at the Center for Security and Emerging Technology, has suggested that the United States and its allies impose expansive export controls on chip-making equipment, materials, and software at higher process nodes in order to control China's chip access. The National Security Commission on AI recommended the U.S. government control chip manufacturing technology relevant at the 16nm node or below, a proposal endorsed by some lawmakers. Kahn concluded that export controls at the 16nm or 28nm nodes and below would be sustainably effective, whereas restricting only the most advanced toolmaking would have a muted impact. The U.S. government has historically sought to keep China at least two generations behind in chip manufacturing through export controls. In September 2022, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan announced a shift in U.S. policy, replacing the goal of being only a couple of generations ahead of China with the new goal of maintaining as large a lead as possible in chips. Multilateral restrictions on equipment below 16/14 nm could freeze China's fab development in place, and expanded restrictions at 16/14 nm or higher could even roll back Chinese production over time, denying fabs the equipment and servicing they need to continue production. Yet China's role as the leading importer for semiconductor manufacturing equipment may make the siren song of profits too tempting for other countries to resist. The goal of a U.S. strategy should be to retain control over the levers of chip production by slowing China's indigenous semiconductor industry, maintaining China's dependence on foreign chips, and investing in American firms to secure another generation of technological leadership. The United States should also work to diversify the geography of chip production so it is not so heavily dependent on Taiwan, an island 100 miles off the coast of China that the Chinese Communist Party has pledged to absorb, by force if necessary, into China. A military conflict over Taiwan could have devastating ramifications for global chip supply chains. Even a non-violent shift in political and economic power across the Taiwan Strait that moved Taiwan's semiconductor industry into the CCP's sphere of influence would dramatically alter the global balance of technological power. The United States and its allies must expand multilateral export controls, increase R&D funding, and subsidize fab construction to reshore fabs to the United States and other allied nations. Yet as long as China has 60% of the global demand for semiconductors, its buying power will tend to bend supply chains around any restrictions. An important element of a comprehensive U.S. strategy for hardware competition is incentivizing companies to diversify electronics manufacturing out of China using a mix of carrots, such as tax incentives, and sticks, such as targeted tariffs. The global semiconductor market will remain highly fluid, driven by a combination of market forces, national industrial policies, and disruptive technological change. Ever-rising costs continue to consolidate the industry to only a few players at key choke points. The United States, China, and other countries will continue to invest in their national semiconductor industries, adding geopolitical pressures to the forces affecting the global semiconductor market. China's chip dependency is a massive point of leverage for the United States over China, but the United States will need to work with allies to effectively constrain China's domestic semiconductor industry. A number of voices have called for technology-leading democracies to band together to coordinate technology policy. In 2020, the UK government reportedly approached the United States about creating a new D10 group of democratic tech-leading countries comprising the G7 nations, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the United Kingdom, and the United States, plus Australia, India, and South Korea. A number of U.S. experts have embraced the idea under different names, Tech 10, T12, with other proposed members including the European Union, Finland, Israel, the Netherlands, and Sweden. Potential areas of collaboration include R&D, talent, standard setting, fab subsidies, export controls, foreign investment screening, countering IP theft, and AI governance. The Quad nations of Australia, India, Japan, and the United States have already deepened their cooperation, hosting a first-ever Heads of State Summit in 2021. They jointly launched a Critical and Emerging Technology Working Group to facilitate cooperation on international standards and innovative technologies of the future. Also in 2021, the United States and the EU established a new Trade and Technology Council, TTC, to further cooperation on a range of technology issues, including standards, export controls, semiconductors, and artificial intelligence. By collaborating on technology policy, democratic nations will be far more effective in shaping the future of AI.